Hello and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your speaker, Chris McCann. If you'd like more information or to hear more studies, visit our website at www.ebiblefellowship.com. And now with your evening Bible study, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible Study in the Book of Revelation. Tonight is study number 35 of Revelation chapter 9. And we're going to be reading Revelation 9 verses 20 and 21. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. And that is the last verse of Revelation chapter 9. And we're presently going to be looking at verse 20, where God speaks of the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues. And that's interesting language. It's an interesting idea because God has just been discussing the third part that were slain by the 200 million, and the 200 million identified with fire, smoke, and brimstone. And so they, the third part, were killed by those plagues. But the rest of the men were not killed by the plagues that are mentioned here in Revelation 9. And despite the fact that God is judging and destroying and plaguing the third part of men till death, that has no impact on the rest of the men. And the rest of the men can only be unsaved individuals. We know because God says that they're involved in sinful activity, of idolatry, of murder, of sorcery, fornication, theft. These are the works of the flesh. These are the things that unsaved people do. And amazingly, in the day of judgment, as God is pouring out his wrath on a portion of mankind, the third part, and we know that the third part is a reference to all those within the churches, to about 2 billion people, that they are not troubled, they are not convicted, they are not made to fear God in this time of wrath, even though he has slain about 2 billion people. They just continue on in their sin. They do not seem disturbed. They're not attempting to stop their sin. They do not repent of it. They continue on in it. And so we want to take a look at this statement in at the first part of Revelation 9:20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands. The rest of the men. Now, the Greek word translated as rest is Strong's number 3062, and it's translated as loipoi or loipos in the singular. This is loipoi, and God uses it in some interesting places, that is this word. For instance, he uses this same word in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 3, where it says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And the word others is a translation of the same Greek word loipoi or loipos. And you say it here in Ephesians 2:3, where it says, and we were by nature the children of wrath, that is referring to God's elect, even as others, which would mean those that are not God's elect. And of course, those that are not God's elect far outnumber those that are. The elect are a remnant. Now that's important because sometimes this Greek word loipoi is translated as remnant. But here in Ephesians 2:3, we see that others is actually referring to a far greater number than those that were initially in view, we that were children of wrath, the elect, even as others, that the others would refer to billions of people. Well, also, we read in Revelation 20, where we'll find this same Greek word in verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, Revelation 20, verse 4 is speaking of the first fruits unto God, all that were saved during the church age, and that was a good number of people. We don't know exactly how many, maybe a couple of million, maybe 5, maybe 10. We do not expect it to be too great of a number due to the language in the Bible. But then God tells us in the very next verse of his plan to save the great multitude during the time of great tribulation, and says in Revelation 20 verse 5, but the rest of the dead. Now the word rest is a translation of that same word. The rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. The 1,000 years is that time of Satan's binding. Once that 1,000-year period was finished in 1988, the Great Tribulation began. Then the rest of the dead would live, according to this verse. That is, they would become saved. And so again, we have the greater number, a great multitude, are in view by the statement of the rest of the dead compared to the former that were saved during the church age. And so it's very possible for this word to refer to a larger number than a smaller number. And since it's sometimes translated as remnant, and we have that understanding of a remnant as a very little part of the whole, I think it's important for us to realize that. Now in Revelation 19, we read of Judgment Day. And beginning in verse 19 through 21, Revelation chapter 19, verse 19 says, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Now the beast is another name for Satan that God gave him especially for his rule during the Great Tribulation period. And Satan is also the false prophet. But the churches and congregations which took upon themselves the image of the beast, because God's spirit left and they basically follow the lies of Satan, that they also could be identified as the false prophet. Here in verse 20, God is indicating that he has judged Satan the beast and the false prophet, which would include the churches and congregations. And in other words, God destroyed the third part, just as we find in Revelation 9. First, along with Satan, on May 21, 2011, God judged Satan and he slew the third part of men, the beast and the false prophet. Well, then it says here, these both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And then verse 21 says, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse. Now, who are the remnant? This is the same word, and it could be translated, the rest were slain with the sword. And again, we should not think that a remnant, just because this word is translated as remnant, that it means a lesser number. No, this is the rest of the men, the rest of Satan's kingdom, the rest of unsaved mankind, which number billions. There were about 2 billion in the churches that identified with the third part. That leaves over 5 billion unsaved people that are outside of the churches, and they are the rest of the men. They are the remnant, according to this verse in Revelation 19, verse 21. And God deals with them separately or apart from his dealing with the false prophet or the dealing with the third part. God deals with them in a different way. And let's go back to Revelation 9. In our verse 20, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues. You see how God is speaking of the judgment he's bringing as plagues. And as soon as we hear the word plagues, we think of what God did to Egypt. And certainly it was an incredible display of the mighty power of God when God sent plague after plague upon Egypt. It says in Exodus 9, in verse 13, and Jehovah said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning, and stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus saith Jehovah God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand, that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And God followed suit, and he did send plague after plague, and outward, visible, very literal, physical plagues to afflict Egypt. And he brought the greatest country of that time with the greatest army to its knees in a matter of days through the plagues that God afflicted them with. Well, that's one way that the Bible describes plagues, plagues of hail and plagues of water turned to blood and plagues of death upon the firstborn, all very literal plagues. But God also tells us in the Bible, in Revelation chapter 11, he is speaking of the two witnesses and their ministry in the churches during the church age, 1955 years, from 33 A.D. until 1988 AD, after the Bible was completed, when God was no longer performing mighty miracles such as he did against Egypt. He would not bring plagues in that manner again. Yet we read of the two witnesses in Revelation 11 in verses 5 and 6. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Now again, there is no way, no possibility this is referring to literal plagues or literal famine and literal turning water to blood. It has nothing to do with that. This must be, it cannot be anything other than a reference to the Word of God as it is ministered and proclaimed in the mouths of God's people during the church age, and the declarations and proclamations of that word are what bring forth and accomplish these plagues that God is talking of. For instance, how can two witnesses, the word of God, bring about a plague of shutting heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy? Well, if a church goes contrary to the gospel as it's laid out in the Bible, then God's word issues forth an edict and a decree that that church is no longer a true church, no longer possesses the true gospel. Therefore, the gospel water stops falling and flowing forth in that congregation. The word of God has condemned it, has dried it up. The word of God has turned that water flow off. Heaven is no longer bringing forth its flow of gospel water into that congregation or whole denomination. And they could do this as often as they will, as often as a church would go astray or a denomination would turn into another kind of a gospel and become a synagogue of Satan. Well, God could do these things. He could, in like manner, turn their water to blood, turn it into waters of judgment, and smite the members of the congregations in so doing. And you see, it's all spiritual. It's all being done according to the teaching of the Word of God. Let's also look at Revelation 22. And there is a very familiar verse and fearful verse concerning plagues. In Revelation 22, beginning in verse 18, it says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." You see that strong, definitive statement. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. The plagues that are written in the Bible. God has recorded and written down the plagues. You know, let's think about this. This statement is telling us that the Bible is a carrier of plague. The Bible is a carrier of the plagues of God. And we actually have been witnesses to what God is saying here. Now, again, the plagues are written in this book. And God sealed up the word, he tells us in the book of Daniel, until the time of the end. Well, at the time of the end, what happened? God unsealed the scriptures. He opened up the words of the Bible to the understanding of his people at the beginning of the Great Tribulation period, and then information began to come forth. Truths began to come to light. And what did those truths accomplish? Well, God opened up the information that the church age was over, that it was his plan to begin judgment at the house of God. And what happened to the churches as a result of this? Well, when those words came forth, the plagues written therein in the scriptures came forth also, and God plagued the congregations. He turned immediately, in an instant, in a moment, he turned the waters of all churches all over the earth to blood. He dried up the wonderful streams and rivers of gospel water that were flowing forth from pulpits and from congregations to the people of the earth. God dried them in a moment of time, in an instant, as the plagues came out of his word and afflicted the congregations everywhere in the earth. And God brought famine upon them, a famine of hearing, not of bread and water, but of hearing the words of the Lord, and so forth. The plagues that are written in the Bible were loosed, in a sense, upon the church. It was the divine revelation. It was an understanding of the written word in Jeremiah and in Daniel and in Revelation and elsewhere that destroyed the church. And God's people realized that their long home and habitation where they thought God had wanted them to be, and indeed where they were to be for nearly 2,000 years, that they were no longer to be there. They were to come out and depart out and flee to the mountains because the church had become such a desolation as a result of the plagues of the Word of God upon it. But more than that, God also recorded revelation that would come forth in the day of judgment, as he tells us in Romans 2 and in verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath. Now, the day of wrath would be judgment day, our present time. And so the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. There, the day of wrath is joined together with the word and, a conjunction that links the two together. The day of wrath is also a day of revelation of the righteous judgment of God. And that's exactly what the Lord has done as we have entered into these days after the tribulation. As the tribulation ended on May 21, 2011, God has continued to reveal truth concerning the nature of his judgment and the purpose of his judgment and the fact that he has left his people in the world to live in the time of judgment and the reasons for that and so on. And this opening further of the scripture to give his people additional understanding of the word of God has likewise brought plagues upon the world. It has brought the plague of the death, the slaying of the third part, as we read in Revelation 9. It has brought the drying up of the waters of Babylon, as Babylon typifies this whole world, and all the gospel water of the world has been dried up. The plague of darkness, as a intense, thick spiritual darkness, has overtaken the world since immediately after the tribulation, when the sun was darkened, and so forth. The information from the Bible, once again, as we have learned it, is bringing the plagues. It is the plagues written herein, in this book, in the Bible. And we find, returning to Revelation 9:20, and the rest of the men, that is the 5 billion or so, that are not in the churches, they were not killed on May 21, 2011, because the third part was killed as a result of remaining in the churches up until that day in disobedience to God's command to come out, and therefore there could not be any latter rain falling upon them and no salvation possible during the great tribulation, when God was saving a great multitude, and therefore when God ended salvation everywhere in the world after the tribulation, it slew the third part. But the rest of the men were not killed by that particular plague because they were in the world. And they were in a place, in a position where the latter rain was falling. And so it's not presently known on May 21, 2011, or even well into the period of Judgment Day, whether or not they became saved by the latter rain. In other words, the rest of the men and God's people concerning them have some hope towards them. And an individual who's an atheist or an agnostic or just anything at all other than a Christian, he was outside of the church, he heard the message of Judgment Day, and then that day came and went, and now he hears that there's no more salvation. Now that individual, who's not a Christian, not a believer, and could have been a sharp critic of the Bible itself, and a denier of God himself, and he could be any and all of these things, and yet now he hears no more salvation, and he develops an interest in the gospel, and he begins to wonder, what about me? Is there any hope for that man? Well, we would have to say there is a small hope that perhaps God saved him before he shut the door of heaven. And so that individual can hold on to that slight hope that perhaps God saved him, and that's why he is not killed as the third part were killed. And yet, as he, in this instance, as of course the vast majority of unsaved individuals were not saved, they continue on living as an unsaved person because there was no change in them, and this gives forth the evidence that they also are under the wrath of God, and they also will be destroyed in the lake of fire. But as far as that plague upon the third part, no, that did not kill them. And we'll look at something the Bible has to say concerning stripes, and we'll see how it relates to the fact these rest of the men were not killed by the plagues that did kill the third part.
Thanks for joining us for eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies. You can hear these studies Monday through Friday over Paltalk, Skype, eBible Fellowship's webcast audio, or over your phone. For more information or to hear other studies, visit www.ebiblefellowship.com. Until our next study, may the Lord's perfect will be done.